Next talk is by Anders Sandahl on Wikidata fact annotation for Wikipedia across languages. Thank you.
Thanks. I wanted to start with a small confession. Wow, I'm blown away by the momentum of Wikidata and the engagement of the community. I'm really excited about being here and getting a chance to talk about work that we've been doing. This is joint work with Michael, who's also here on the third row. But before I dive more into this, this wouldn't be a Google presentation without an ad. So you get that up front. This is what I'll be talking about, our project, the Sling project. It is an open source project, and it's using Wikidata a lot. You can go check it out on GitHub when you get a chance, if you feel excited about it after the presentation. And really, what I wanted to talk about, the title is admittedly a little bit long. It's even shorter than it was in the original program. But what it comes down to, what the project comes down to, is trying to answer this one very exciting question. If you want, in the beginning, there were just two files. Some of you may recognize them. They're essentially the dump files from Wikidata and Wikipedia. And the question we're trying to figure out or answer is really, can we dramatically improve how good machines are at understanding human language just by using these files? And of course, you're entitled to ask whether that's an interesting question to answer. If you're a company that whose Skysong data is to be able to take search queries and try to answer them in the best possible way, obviously understanding natural language comes in as a very handy thing. But even for, if you look at Wikidata, in the previous data quality panel earlier today, like there was a question that came up about verification or verifiability of facts. So let's say you actually do understand natural language. If you have a fact that there's a source, you could go to the source and analyze it, and you can figure out whether it actually confirms the fact that it's claiming to have this as a source. And if you could do it, you could even go beyond that, and you could read articles and annotate them, come up with facts, and actually look for existing facts that may need sources and add these articles as sources. Or, in the wildest, craziest possible of all worlds, if you get really, really good at it, you could read articles and maybe even annotate with new facts that you could then suggest as, facts that you could potentially add to Wikidata. But there's a whole world of applications of natural language understanding. One of the things that's really hard, when you do natural language understanding, these days that also means deep learning or machine learning, and one of the things that's really hard is getting enough training data. And historically, that's meant having a lot of text that you need human annotators to then first process, and then you can do training. And part of the question here is also really to say, can we use Wikidata and the way in which it's interlinked with Wikipedia for training data, and will that be enough to train such a model? So hopefully we'll get closer to answering this question in the next 15-20 minutes. We don't quite know the answer yet, but we have some exciting results that are pointing in the right direction, if you want. Just to take a step back in terms of the development we've seen, machine learning and deep learning has revolutionized a lot of areas, and this is just one example of a particular image recognition task that, if you look at what happened between 2010 and 2015, in that five-year period, we went from machines doing pretty poorly to, in the end, actually performing at the same level of humans, or in some cases even better, albeit for a very specific task. So we've seen really a lot of things improving dramatically. And so you can ask, why don't we just throw deep learning at natural language processing or natural language understanding and be done with it? And the answer is kind of we've sort of done to a certain extent, but what it turns out to be is that natural language understanding is actually still a bit of a challenge. And one of the situations where a lot of us interact with machines that are trying to behave like they understand what we're saying is in these chatbots. So this is not to pick on anyone in particular, but just I think an experience that a lot of us have had. In this case, it's someone saying, you know, a user saying, I wanted to stay in this place. The chatbot says, okay, got it. When will you be reaching, when will you be checking in and out? For example, November 17th to 23rd. And the user says, well, I don't have any dates yet. And then the response is, sorry, there are no hotels available for the dates you requested. Would you like to start a new search? So there's still some way to go to get machines to really understand human language. But machine learning or deep learning has been applied already to this discipline. Like one of the examples is recent, more successful examples is BERT, where you're using transformers to solve NLP or NLU tasks. And it's dramatically improved the performance, but as we've seen, there's still some way to go. One thing that's shared among most of these approaches is that you look at the text itself and you depend on having a lot of it so you can train your model on the text. But everything is based on just looking at the text and understanding the text. So the learning is really just representation learning. What we wanted to do is actually understand and annotate the text in terms of items or entities in the real world. And in general, if we take a step back, like why is natural language processing or understanding so hard? There are a number of reasons why it's really hard, but at the core, one of the important reasons is that somehow the machine needs to have knowledge of the world in order to understand human language. And you think about that for a little while, and like, what better place to look for knowledge about the world than Wikidata? So in essence, that's the approach, and the question is, like, can you leverage or can you use this, wonderful knowledge of the world that we already have in a way that that you can help train or bootstrap your model. So the alternative here is really understanding the text, not just in terms of other texts or how this text is similar to other texts, but in terms of the existing knowledge that we have about the world. And what makes me really excited, or at least makes me have a good gut feeling about this, is that in some ways, it seems closer to how we interact as humans. So, like, if we were having a conversation and you were bringing up the Bundeskanzlerin, Angela Merkel, I would have an internal representation of Q567, and it would like light up. And in our continued conversation, mentioning other things related to Angela Merkel, I would have an easier time associating with that or figuring out what you were actually talking about. And so, in essence, that's at the heart of this approach, that we really believe Wikidata is a key component in unlocking this better understanding of natural language. And so, how are we planning to do it? Essentially, there are five steps we are going through, or have been going through. I'll go over each of the steps briefly in turn, but essentially there are five steps. First, we need to start with the dump files that I showed you to begin with, understanding what's in them, parsing them, having an efficient internal representation in memory that allows us to do quick processing on this. And then we're leveraging some of the annotations that are already in Wikipedia, linking it to items in Wikidata. I'll briefly show you what I mean by that. We can use that to then generate more advanced annotations, where we have much more text annotated, but still with annotations being items or facts in Wikidata. And we can then train a model based on the silver data and get a reasonably good model that will allow us to read a Wikipedia document and understand what are the actual contents in terms of Wikidata, but only for facts that are already in Wikidata. And so that's where kind of the hard part of this begins. In order to go beyond that, we need to have a plausibility model, so a model that can tell us, given a lot of facts about an item, an additional fact, whether the additional fact is plausible. If we can build that, we can then use use a more hyped or modern reinforcement learning aspect of deep learning or machine learning to fine-tune the model and hopefully go beyond what we've been able to so far. So real quick, the first step is essentially getting the dump files passed, understanding the contents, and linking up Wikidata and Wikipedia information, and then utilizing some of the annotations that are already there. And so this is essentially what's happening. Trust me, Michael built all of this. It's working great. But essentially, we're starting with the two files you can see on the top, the Wikidata dump and the Wikipedia dump. The Wikidata dump gets processed, and we end up with the knowledge base, or KB, at the bottom. That's essentially a store we can hold in memory that has essentially all of Wikidata in it, and we can quickly access all the properties and facts and so on and do analysis there. Similarly for the documents, they get processed and we end up with documents that have been processed. We know all the mentions and similar things that are already in the documents. And then in the middle, we have an important part, which is the phrase table that allows us to basically see for any phrase, what is the frequency distribution, or like what's the most likely item that we're referring to when we're using this phrase. So we're using that later on to build the SILV annotations. So let's say we've run this, and then we also want to make sure we utilize annotations that are already there. So an important part of Wikipedia articles is that it's not just plain text. It's actually already pre-annotated with a few things. So templates is one example, links is another example. So if we take here the English article for Angela Merkel, there's one example of a link here, which is to her party. If you look at the bottom, that's a link to a specific Wikipedia article. And I guess for people here, it's no surprise that in essence, that is then, if you look at the associated Wikidata item, that's essentially an annotation saying, this is a QID I'm talking about when I'm talking about this party, Christian Democratic Union. So we're using this to already have a good start in terms of understanding what text means. All of these links, we know exactly what the author means with the phrase in the cases where there are links to QIDs. We can use this and the phrase table to then try and take a Wikipedia document and fully annotate it with everything we know about already from Wikidata. And we can use this to train the first iteration of our model. So this is exactly the same article, but now after we've annotated with SILV annotations, and essentially, you can see all of the squares are places where we've been able to annotate with QIDs or with facts. This is just a screenshot of the viewer on the data, so you can have access all of this information and see what's come out of the SILV annotation. And it's important to say that there's no machine learning or anything involved here. All we've done is sort of mechanically, with a few tricks, basically pushed information we already have from Wikidata onto the Wikipedia article. And so here, if you hover over Chancellor of Germany, that is itself a Wikidata, that's referring to a Wikidata item, has a number of properties like subclass of Chancellor, country Germany, that are again referring to subtext in here. It also has a property office holder, which happens to be Angela Dorothea Merkel, which is also mentioned in the text. So there's really a full annotation linking up the contents here. But again, there's an important and unfortunate point about what we are able to and not able to do here. So what we are doing is pushing information we already have in Wikidata. And so what we can't annotate here are things that are not in Wikidata. So for instance here, she was at some point appointed federal minister for women and youth, and that's that alias or that phrase is not in Wikidata, so we're not able to make that annotation here in our silver annotations. That said, it's still at least for me, it was pretty surprising to see how much you can actually annotate and how much information is already there when you combine Wikidata and with the Wikipedia article. So what you can do is, once you have this, millions of documents, you can train your parser based on the annotations that are there. And that's essentially that's a parser that has a number of components. Essentially, the text is coming in at the bottom, and at the top have a transition-based frame semantic parser that then generates the annotation, so these facts or references to the items. We've built this and run on more classical corpora like onto nodes, which are more classical NLP corpora, but we want to be able to run this on the full Wikipedia corpora, and so Michael has been rewriting this in C++, and we're able to really scale up performance of the parser trainer here. So it will be exciting to see exactly the results that are going to come out of that. So once that's in place, we have a pretty good model that's able to at least predict, you know, facts that are already known in Wikidata. But ideally, we want to move beyond that. And for that, we need this plausibility model, which, in essence, you can think of it as a black box where you supply it with all of the known facts you have about a particular item, and then you provide an additional item. And by magic, the black box tells you, like, how plausible is the additional fact that you're providing it? How plausible is it that this particular item has this fact? And I don't know if it's fair to say that it was much to our surprise, but at least you can actually, in order to train a model, you need, like we've seen earlier, you need a lot of training data. And essentially, you can use Wikidata as training data. You serve it basically all the facts for a given item, and then you mask or hold off one fact, and then you provide that as the fact that it's supposed to predict. And just using this as training data, you can get a really, really good plausibility model, actually. to the extent that I was hoping one day to maybe be able to even use it for discovering what you could call accidental vandalism in Wikidata. So, like, a fact that's been added by accident and it really doesn't look like it doesn't fit with the normal topology of facts or knowledge in Wikidata, if you want. But in this particular setup, we need it for something else, namely for doing reinforcement learning. So we can fine-tune the Wiki parser and basically using the plausibility model as a reward function. So when you do the training, you try to pass a Wikipedia document, a sentence, Wikipedia comes up with a fact, and we check the fact on the plausibility model and use that as feedback or as a reward function in training the model. And the big question here is then, can we learn to predict facts that are not already in Wikidata? And we hope and believe we can, but it's still not clear. So this is essentially what we have been and are planning to do. There's been some surprisingly good results in terms of how far you can get with silver annotations and plausibility model. But in terms of how far we are, if you want, we'll sort of have the infrastructure in place to do the processing and have everything efficiently in memory. We have kind of first instances of silver annotations and have a parser trainer in place for the supervised learning and an initial plausibility model. But we're still pushing on those fronts and very much looking forward to see what comes out of the very last bit. And those were my words. I'm very excited to see what comes out of it, and it's been a pure joy to work with Wikidata. It's been fun to see how some of the things you come across that seem wrong, then the next day you look, things are fixed, and it's really been amazing to see the momentum there. Like I said, the URL, like all the source code is on GitHub. Our email address was on the first slide, so like please do reach out if you have questions or interested, and you know, I think we have time for a couple of questions now in case there are any.
Thank you for your presentation. I do have a concern, however. The Wikidata corpus, the Wikipedia corpus is known to be with bias. There's a very strong bias, for example, fewer women, more men, all sorts of other aspects in there. So isn't this actually also tainting the knowledge that you are taking out of the Wikipedia?
Well, so there are two aspects of the question, right? There's both in the model that we are then training, you could ask like how, if you make it really simple and say like, does it mean that the model will then will be worse at predicting facts about women than men, say, or some other set of groups? To begin with, if you just look at the raw data, it will reflect whatever is the bias in the training data. So that's on people work on this to try and address that in the best possible way. But normally, when you're training a model, it will reflect whatever data you're training it on. So that's something to account for when doing the work. Yeah.
Hi, this is Marco. I'm a natural language processing practitioner, and I was curious about how you model your facts. So I heard you said frame semantics.
Right.
Could you maybe give some more details on that, please?
So it's frame semantics. We're using frame semantics, and basically, all of the facts in Wikidata are then modeled as frames, and so we're using it. That's an essential part of the setup and how we make this work. That's essentially how we try to address the how can I make all the knowledge that I have in Wikidata available in a context where I can annotate and train my model where I'm annotating or parsing text. Is that existing data? In Wikidata is modeled as frames. So the store that we have, the knowledge base with all of the knowledge, is a frame store. And this is the same frame store that we're building on top of when we're then passing the text.
So you're converting the Wikidata that the model into some frame?
We are converting the Wikidata model into one large frame store, if you want. Yeah.
Yes. Is Pluto a planet?
Can I get the question?
I like the bootstrapping thing that you're doing. I mean, the way that you're training your model by picking out the known facts about things that are verified, okay, and then training the plausibility prediction by trying to teach the architecture of the system to recognize that actually that fact fits, right? So that will work for large classes, right? But it doesn't sound like it will learn about surprises, and especially not in small classes of items, right? So if you train your model in, when did Pluto disappear? I forgot. So
as a planet, you mean?
It used to be a member of the solar system, and we had how many, 9 observations there. It's slightly problematic. So everyone, the kids think that Pluto is not a planet. I think it's silly. I still think it's a planet, but never mind. So, and the fact that it suddenly stopped being a planet, right, which was supported empirically for, I don't know, hundreds of years, right? That's crazy. How would you go for figuring out that thing? And figuring out, that, for example, the new claim is now plausible for that thing.
Sure. So there are two things. So there's both, like, how precise is the plausibility model? So what it distinguishes between is, like, random facts and facts that are plausible. And there's also the question of, like, whether Pluto is a planet. And that's back to whether... I was in another session where someone brought up the example of the Earth being flat, right? Whether that is a fact or not. So it is
sense.
A fact in the sense that you could put it in, I guess you could put it in Wikidata with sources that are claiming that's the thing. So again, you would not necessarily want to train the model in a way where if you read someone saying, you know, the planet Pluto, blah, 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 then it should be fine for it to then say that an annotation for this text is that Pluto is a planet. That doesn't mean, you know, the model won't be able to tell, you know, what in the end is the truth. I don't think any of us here will be able to
either. That's what I just want to say. It's not a hard accusation against the approach, because even people cannot be sure whether that fact, a new fact, is plausible at that moment. But that's always, you know, just maybe reiterated the question that I'm posing all the time to myself in my work. I always ask, we do this statistical learning thing, it's amazing nowadays, we can do brilliant things, but we cannot learn about surprises, and they are very, very important, in fact, right?
But just
thank you.
The plausibility model is combined with kind of two extra rules. First of all, if it's in Wikidata, it's true. We just give you the benefit of the doubt. So please make it good. The second thing is, if it's not allowed by the schema, it's false. It's all the things in between we are looking at. So if it's a planet according to Wikidata, it will be a true fact.
So, it won't predict surprises. But what is important here is that there's kind of no manual human work involved. So there's nothing that prevents from if we're successful with the approach, there's nothing that prevents him from continuously updating the model with changes happening in Wikidata and Wikipedia and so on. So, in theory, you should be able to quickly learn new surprises.
One last question.
Maybe. We are biased by Wikidata.
Yeah.
You are our bias. Whatever you annotate is what we believe. So if you make it good, if you make it balanced, we can hopefully be balanced. With the gender thing, there's actually interesting things. We're actually getting more training facts about women than men because she is a much less ambiguous pronoun in the text. So we actually get a lot more true facts about women. So we are biased, but on the women's side.
I want to see the data on that.
We should bring that along next time.
You get high precision on the text.
Yes, high precision.
It says Sling is parser across many languages, and you showed us English.
Yes.
Can you say something about the number of languages?
Yes, thank you for asking. I had told myself to say that up front on the first page because otherwise I would forget, and I did. So right now we're not actually looking at two files. We're looking at 13 files. So Wikipedia dumps from 12 different languages that that we're processing, and none of this is dependent on the language being English. So we're processing this for all of the 12 languages. For now, they share the property of, I think, being the Latin alphabet and so on. Mostly for us to be able to make sure that what we are doing still makes sense and works. But there's nothing fundamental about the approach that prevents it from being used in very different languages from those being spoken around this area.
Leila from Wikimedia Foundation. I may have missed this and you presented this. Do you make an attempt to bring any references from Wikipedia articles back to the property and statements you're making in Wikidata?
Yeah, so I briefly mentioned this as a potential application. So for now, what we are trying to do is just to get this to work. But let's say we did get it to work with a high level of quality. Yeah, that would be an obvious thing to try to do. So when you let's say you were willing to, I know there's some controversy around using Wikipedia as a source for Wikidata, right? That it kind of, you can't have circular references and so on. So you need to have like properly sourced facts. So let's say you were coming up with new facts, then obviously you could look at the corpora of like news media and so on and process these and try to annotate these and then that way find sources for new facts that you come up with. Or you could even take there are a lot of facts in Wikidata that either have no sources or only have Wikipedia as a source. So you can start processing these and try to find sources for those automatically.
Or even within the articles that you're taking this information from, just using the sources from there, because they may contain.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks, Anders.
Cool, thanks.